Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get started. This is a meeting of the Gulf Coast, or the Triumph Gulf Coast Board of Directors. We appreciate the opportunity to meet here in Wakulla County at the School Board Chamber, and we want to particularly thank the Superintendent, Bobby Pierce, for his hospitality and to be in Wakulla County at a time when we can join, I'm sure, the citizens of this county in marking another great school year. As you get, I guess you may be getting test results today or tomorrow. Hitting refresh. I know, I used to do that. And we appreciate, Mr. Superintendent, you're allowing us to be here, and we congratulate you on the great success of your school district, and very, very much look forward to working with you on projects that we are doing now and in the future. We also, before we get started, have occasion to take note that one of our members, Mr. Schoaf, is no longer Mr. Schoaf. He now is Representative Schoaf. Jason Schoaf has won election to the Florida House of Representatives. It's been a pleasure to have him on this board and to work with him. And I can just say, Representative, that as you move into the legislature, you carry with you a legacy of being a champion for small counties and for North Florida, and a strong advocate for career technical education. And I really look forward to your success in the legislature, as I'm sure other members of our board do. But, Representative, I yield to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. And I tell you, I've got big shoes to fill. Representative Beshears did a great job for our district. And as we get through these next several years, helping us rebuild from the hurricane, helping us push vocational training, career and technical training in our schools, and helping us bring jobs to North Florida, there are a lot of challenges. And I have to say that this has been one of the best experiences I've had in my life serving on this board. As hopefully most of you know, if not, I'll let you know, I'm resigning from the board effective, I guess, the other night at midnight for the election. We do not want politicians on this board. So I hate it.
Ex-politicians are okay.
Reformed.
Reformed. But, recovering.
This board means so much to North Florida. It provides an opportunity that, like we've never seen before. And I'm proud of the work that the board has done so far, and I know that it will continue to do great things. We've got a tremendous group here. And any way in the world I can help you, I'll be at all your meetings. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative. Unless there's objection, even though Representative Schoaf has resigned from this board, he has been an extraordinary and distinguished member and contributing member of this board, and we've asked him to sit up here with us to make sure that we don't get off target here now that we're down in his neck of the woods holding the meeting. He won't be voting today, but he'll be here and making sure that we do the right thing. And I know other members of the board have been active in providing good counsel and help and support to the representative as he's moved forward. So any comments that anyone would care to make, we will certainly take them at this time. Mr. Lee.
Just congratulate Mr. Schoaf and now Representative Schoaf, and we're looking forward to continuing our work with him.
Mr. Bear.
We look forward to your leadership in Tallahassee. We know you'll be an asset for all of Northwest Florida, and we just congratulate you for your great victory.
Dr. Dana.
Yes, congratulations, but it's our loss. You've done a great job, especially in representing rural Northwest Florida. And Godspeed in Tallahassee.
Mr. Riggs.
Good luck. And it's also good to be in the hometown of a Florida Gators starting quarterback, Felipe Franks. So, go Gators.
Start a fight already.
I'm ready.
Ms. Skelton, I know that Speaker Benz called in early this morning He's ill, and therefore he has an excused absence from today's meeting. But with the exception of the speaker, would you please call the roll?
Yes, sir. Mr. Baer?
Here.
Dr. Dana?
Here.
Chair Gates?
Here.
Mr. Lee?
Here.
Mr. Riggs?
Here.
Quorum present.
Quorum being present, the meeting is called to order, and let's begin with the Treasurer's report. Mr. Riggs, would you take us to the April and May financial statements, please?
Yes, sir, I will. In front of you, you have two sets of financial statements from Tipton Marler. We're going to go ahead and start with April's. So if you'll turn to page one, our statement of financial position, our balance sheet. Again, this is this balance sheet looks very similar to all the previous balance sheets we looked at. So we had $367 million in cash and cash equivalents. And our liabilities, our biggest liability is our monthly payment of interest that we remit back to the DEO, and that was almost $700,000. On page two is our statement of activity, or our profit and loss statement. And you can see for the month of April, we did get our settlement revenue of $80 million as part of the settlement agreement. And our total administrative expenses were around $90,000. Right below that, you will see the funds distributed, $15.4 million. And that was primarily related to our hurricane relief funds that we approved, and also the ongoing payments related to the projects for the Pinellas City Port that we previously approved. So if there are no questions on April's financial statements, I can go to May.
Any questions on April's financial statements? If not, please do.
Okay. The balance sheet for May, again, looks very similar to the previous months, where we have $367 million in cash. We earned interest of $805,000 that we remit to the DEO. On page two, we expended in administrative expenses around $61,000. And right below that, you'll see funds distributed of around $488,000. And again, those funds distributed are in accordance with the previous term sheets that we've come to agreement on. I believe there is part of it's the port money, part of it was something to Wakulla and Walton County. So if there are no questions on the financials for May, then I would like to move to approve the April and May 2019 financial statements.
We'll take that motion, and if there's a second, we'll go back to any questions about the May financials. Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Baer. Are there now any questions, comments, or debate on the April and May financials? If not, show them adopted. And Mr. Riggs, if you'd now take us to the amendments to our financial policies and procedures subsequent to the recommendations of the Auditor General.
Yeah, if you remember, the AG made three recommendations, one of them related to the policies and procedures related to disbursements. At one point, we had, when we changed from Chair Benz to Chair Gates, we did not update the signer card at the bank to say that we had changed chairs. And they considered that a finding. They were still authorized signers on the account. So in your information, there's a systems documentation board approved new thing, and all we are saying is at least once a year during our last meeting of the year, we will review the bank authorization records and confirm or change authorization forms indicating authorized signers as needed. Now, in the case that, let's say, I were to separate from the board prior to year end, We also have a policy in there that at time of separation for me, we would go ahead and get me off the signer. So we just added that to our policies and procedures. So now we have to follow that, and that will take care of that finding from the Florida AG. Now I do need a motion to approve the change to our systems documentation.
Are there questions on? We've had a conversation before. Full report on the Auditor General's recommendations. You see the action that we're going to take because we agree with their recommendation that we need to keep the cards updated at all times. Are there any questions? Any comments or debate or discussion? If not, Mr. Riggs moves the adoption of the recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there debate, discussion? Any objection? Show it adopted. Would you take us to the second recommendation, please?
Okay. So I'm going to make a recommendation on the adjustment of compensation for our executive director, Susan Skelton. At the time of her annual review, at the beginning of the year, we decided to hold off on determining any additional compensation until we got the Florida AG report back, because part of her compensation was tied to how well we did with those findings. So I would recommend to the board that we give her a 5% increase in pay. And I would also recommend that we make it retroactive back to January 1, because it was not anything that she did to hold up the AG report. It just took them time to finally get it to us. So if the AG would have been done December 31st, we would have done this at the beginning of the year. So I'll open up for discussion, but my recommendation is 5% and retroactive back to January 1.
We'll see if we can get a second to that and then debate it. As a second by Dr. Dana. Is there discussion, debate, objection? Dr. Dana, let me defer to you. You were on the committee that evaluated Ms. Skelton's performance prior to the determination to, and I think it was your committee's recommendation that we do a salary adjustment contingent on the AG's report. So I'll certainly want to hear any comments you might want to make.
Thank you, Chairman Gates. I just appreciate you bringing it up and not losing sight. You know, we all get busy, and sometimes these things go by the wayside. So I appreciate that you've kept us honest on this point, and I fully agree with the increased compensation for Susan.
Is there any discussion or any questions? Let me just say that in working with Ms. Skelton, I found her to be exactly the same person that she was when she ran the Florida Senate and when she ran committees of the Florida Legislature. Her extraordinary experience is what brought Speaker Benz to the recommendation that she be hired. That was the Speaker's recommendation, and I'm very delighted that she accepted. And I can tell you that we have an employed staff of one and $1.5 billion enterprise. And she's done an extraordinary job in working with our part-time consultants, our legal counsel, and our auditors and finance folks to make sure that not only are we operating in a smooth and efficient manner, but we're actually getting things done. So I plan to vote for the motion. Are there any further comments or questions? Is there any objection by any member? If not, show it adopted. And now let's go to review and approval of the minutes of the April 29th meeting. Ms. Skelton.
First of all, thank you, Chairman and members of the board, for that last vote. I appreciate it very much. The minutes are in your packet for the April 29th meeting, and unless there are changes, I would recommend a motion to approve.
Are there any questions, additions, or corrections to the April 29th minutes? You've had them before you. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Baer moves approval. Is there a second? Second by Dr. Dana. Debate, discussion, objection, showed adopted. Let's now go to the staff report. Ms. Skelton, the first item is just to brief the board on where we are with our required semi-annual report to the governor and the presiding officers.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, we have provided in your packets a draft document that will be published after the meeting. It will be reflective of any actions that the board takes in the meeting today. This is the report to the governor and the speaker and the president on the activities of Triumph Gulf Coast to date, and specifically focused on the activities of Triumph Gulf Coast between January 1st and June 30th of 2019 as required by statute. As I said, the document is in your report, in your packet, but we have not published it yet because numbers still have to be changed relative to the actions of today's board meeting. And we would request permission to move that document forward over the chairman's signature once we have a final version.
And we would invite board members to please contact Ms. Skelton with any additions that you may wish to have, or deletions, corrections, changes in emphasis. This is a required report that we make. We make it to the presiding officers and the governor, but we also make it to the members, Representative Schoaf, of our legislative delegation. So you'll be getting a copy of this report as it's finalized. We would ask the board's permission to make any changes or edits based on the input we receive from board members over the next few days. Is there any objection to granting the executive director and myself the opportunity to make those final edits and submission? Is there any objection, any discussion or debate on that? All right, show that agreed to. And now, Ms. Skelton, I believe that we have a brief conversation about some operational policies that you wish to lead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. We're in the process of memorializing our operational process so that the board will have written policies and procedures for all of the activities that we go through. One of the things that's come to our attention is that in several of our contracts, we have 15-day periods in the contract for staff to review particular documents, and we wanted to ask the board for specific permission in advance of approval of the written policy to allow for legal counsel or professional staff to sign off on time-constrained contract reviews pursuant to our agreements. And some examples of that would be if there were bid documents that the awardee is ready to put forward and we have 15 days to sign off on them, we wouldn't have time to call a board meeting to have those types of documents, or minimal change orders, or that are underneath the threshold that may be established in a contract. So what we're asking for is for permission to allow either legal counsel or professional staff, dependent on the type of document that needs to be reviewed, permission to go ahead and sign off on those within the 15-day period that's in the award agreement.
Are there questions about Ms. Skelton's request? Any concerns or objections by anyone? If not, a motion would be in order to approve the executive director's request as she's articulated it. Moved by Mr. Lee. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Bear. Is there debate, discussion, objection? Showed adopted. Mr. Remington, you were up with the legal report.
Is that better? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before the board are several agreements and term sheets and addendums for review. I'll address them in the order they appear in the agenda. The first matter on the agenda is a grant award agreement between the School Board of Escambia County, Project Number 5, and Triumph Gulf Coast. It's an education project. The total amount of the project is $7,313,012.74. Triumph's contribution is contemplated to be $2,329,302.74, or a match of approximately 32%. It's my understanding that the agreement is almost ready for signature, but for some discussion regarding performance metrics. And I yield to Dr. Fuller to discuss the performance metric issue.
Dr. Fuller.
Thank you, sir. I have Dr. Taylor here if she would like to make some comments about that issue.
And Dr. Taylor, we're delighted to have you here and have your comments. Dr. Fuller, could you remind us about this project? Give us a little sense of it, because I know it's a project that all of us are very interested in.
So this is a project I think we've been involved with for almost a full year as we've worked out details going forward. It supports projects that are actively taking place in Escambia in the area as far as workforce training. It has clear metrics about what outcomes we're looking for with students in terms of certifications. It has compliant metrics that the school board has agreed to. And it also has an additional extension that Ms. Taylor might want to address at this time.
Dr. Taylor, thank you very much for being here. And thank you for working with us over these months. And you're recognized, ma'am.
Thank you. Perhaps approaching years. my name is Michelle Taylor, and I'm Director of Workforce Education for the School District of Escambia County. Our superintendent cannot be here. He is on his way to Texas visiting grandchildren, and I'm proud that he's keeping his priorities straight. I'm asking the school board members to approve the contract for diversifying the workforce via sector-based workforce development. Our project, as it was posted on the website on Monday, we have been in negotiation on the terms of the agreement for over a year. We came to a meeting in the mines. The terms were brought before the board last month, and the board approved those terms. Last Thursday, I received notice that there were some modifications to the terms. Mostly it regarded purchasing and disbursement timing. It was explained that it was to simplify things for us. In fact, it really essentially meant that we weren't going to get the money ahead of time. We were going to have to do some quotes and then request disbursement and then get paid after. And that's okay. We were okay with that. And we needed to get that approved quickly because the grant, the contract was going to be posted on the website Monday, which I assume is according to due notice requirements. It was posted on Monday. And today, on my way here, I had a three-hour drive. At about 8 o'clock, I received a phone call that there were again going to be some modifications to the contract regarding extending our outcomes to 7 years beyond the initial, what I considered to be 4 years. The money would be gone after three, and that's fine. And quite honestly, we're already running circles around the outcomes. That's not even the point. The point is, we negotiated this contract in good faith. We came to an agreement. You approved the terms. To come to this meeting expecting to read this script that said, thank you very much. With this money, we are going to be able to accelerate our workforce initiative. Quite honestly, the School District of Escambia County has hardwired workforce education. We're going to continue, and we will be strong. I'm just a little disappointed, very disappointed, to think that the board might approve a change to a contract after it's already been posted. I'm asking this board to vote to approve that contract how it was posted on Monday. I want to come back to you. I want to work with you to do a fast-track amendment so that we can address ST engineering and other aviation needs. But I have to have faith that you can be trusted. And that's what this is all about for us. We have interviewed for the two positions that are going to be funded by this grant. They are waiting. We have not told them. We will rescind those offers. This is dependent now on the Triumph Board. We've done what we said we were going to do. Now we're asking you to approve the contract that was negotiated based on the terms that you approved last month. Thank you.
Dr. Taylor, if you stay at the podium for a moment, there may be questions. Any board members have any questions? Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Taylor. I think that Dr. Taylor makes a good point. I think that the 14-day notice requirement to post contracts is one that we ought to be fully abiding by. The provision that I think has caused some angst has been the requirement that this board has discussed in making sure that when we appropriate funds or when we approve funds for a program that has a lifespan during which time the applicant says she or he is going to produce particular results, in this case national industry certifications that are vitally needed in the aerospace industry in Northwest Florida, that that we obtain from the applicant an undertaking that the funds that we provide obviously are for the purpose of getting something started and funding it to a point, but we are requesting as on a going forward basis, you'll see it in the Northwest Florida application that's before you today, we're requesting an affirmation that if the project is a three-year project, that during that period of time after they've cashed the Triumph check, that the applicant will continue to operate the project and will continue to fund it. And we think that's a reasonable business practice. But we also realize, you know, I've served on a school board. We realize that once a school board has seen a contract that Dr. Taylor, even though she heads the career technical program within the school district, and even if the superintendent were here, that he would not have the authority to make any changes in a contract once the school board has already seen it. So what I'd like to suggest to avoid any angst and to make sure that like Ronald Reagan said, we trust, but we also verify that we not take action on this matter today. I certainly don't want to delay it over much. And what I'm going to ask our legal counsel to do is to make sure we do this correctly, but to do what we've done before, and that is call a special call telephonic meeting of this board just as soon as the Escambia County School District has had the opportunity to take the technical action that they need to take, if they choose to take it, so that we can do this in a fashion that dots all the I's, crosses all the T's, in the way that this board has operated with every other grant that we've undertaken. Mr. Attorney, could we do that at some point if we can get a quorum on the telephone?
Yes, sir. We can hold a telephonic meeting, and if I could offer just one clarification. The publication deadline for Triumph is not that the actual contract be published, but a summary of the contract. So we do not post the full contract on the website 14 days before meeting, only a summary of the contract.
Well, and that's a helpful clarification to what Dr. Taylor said. Are there any comments or questions by board members? If not, this matter, yes, sir, Mr. Baer.
I would only comment that being part of the economic development in Northwest Florida and bringing jobs into Escambia County and knowing the significance of education and academies and getting these programs up and running are vital to the success of those industries that we've brought. ST is of great interest to everybody sitting at this table. We've got $66 million committed to it. They've got to have trained employees to come into their programs, and the school system is the basis for that success. So I would hope that within a very short time, we'll be able to resolve the issue and move on and approve this contract.
Yes, sir. Well said. Any other comment?
I second this motion.
All right. Well, we'll put it in the form of a motion. There's not a motion on the floor, but would you care to make one or a second one? Well, a motion would be in order that this matter be laid on the table with the understanding that a special call telephonic meeting of this board would be held as soon as the Escambia School Board has had the opportunity to consider the outstanding issue that's been discussed, which is to say the requirement that they continue to operate and fund the program for the period of time that they have committed to have the program in existence. Is there such a motion?
I'll move the motion.
Motion by Mr. Baer. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Dana. Is there a debate or discussion? Dr. Taylor, do you understand where we are at this point? And you're welcome to comment on the motion, for it, against it, be neutral, anything you want to be. We want this to go forward.
It's just not the way Escambia County School District does business. We negotiated. We had a contract. I'm sorry. You know, I'll certainly follow up with the superintendent, but I've already if you're going to add things constantly, how can anyone operate in an agency where you make changes at will? That's just not how we do business. We appreciate it so much, your interest. We have been strong in workforce development, and we will continue to be strong in workforce development right now without this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor, and it's certainly not our intent to make changes constantly. It's our intent, however, to make sure that before we enter into a final agreement that we have an understanding in writing to memorialize what's been said verbally, and that is that the school district will continue the project for the period of time that it's asking for the funding. But please carry this board's action back to the superintendent, and if you choose to go forward, we will call a special call meeting and get this get these funds to you as soon as we can. If it's not acceptable, it takes two to agree. And we'll look forward to working with you if you chose to work with us. Is there any objection to the motion? If not, show it adopted. Mr. Remington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next matter before the board is approval of a term sheet for a grant award agreement between Triumph Gulf Coast. I apologize. The next matter before the board is a review of a grant award recommendation for proposal number 185, City of Panama City, Panama City Industrial Complex, in the amount of $20 million. This project was originally approved back in December to move forward. Panama City joined the project as the primary applicant. Eastern Shipbuilding is a co-applicant on the project. This is a public-private partnership for improvements on an easement owned by the City of Panama City at the Eastern Shipbuilding yard. The project provides $20 million in grant award funds. The contract is consistent with the term sheet that was previously approved. All of the clawback metrics, performance metrics, and clawbacks are provided for within the agreement, and they are all consistent with what was previously approved by the board. A summary of the grant award agreement was published and 14 days before the meeting per the statute. And every other element of the contract is consistent with the grant award agreements previously approved by the board, with a couple caveats. Those caveats are, because this is a public-private partnership, we have the right to review any and all contracts and agreements and approve those agreements between the city and the private partner in this instance. And also, there is a provision that if any issue were to arise with respect to the legality or enforceability of the public-private partnership, and Triumph were brought in as a party to that dispute, that it would be indemnified by both the city and Eastern Shipbuilding. In all other respects, the contract is consistent with the summary that was posted in the term sheet previously approved by the board.
Are there any questions for legal counsel on this matter before we invite the applicant to come forward? Is there somebody representing the city of Panama City? No, no one from the applicant? All right. Mr. Harrison, I understand that, well, you don't represent the city of Panama City. You represent one of the parties to this matter, Eastern Shipbuilding. So I appreciate the fact you can't speak for the city, but anything you might wish to say about the project, be welcome.
We appreciate the board and the staff working diligently on this project for quite some time. Very important in our community. The city is not here today because they have some hurricane-related meetings. Every day, all day, each day this week, that prevents them from being here. So they, I bring their apologies for that. I'm happy to answer any questions if the board or staff have any for us.
Well, having stayed overnight last night in Panama City, I appreciate everything they're doing, and I understand that it's a 24/7, 365 job to continue to deal with the aftermath of the hurricane. Are there any questions for Mr. Harrison? I noticed that you have Brian DeCernio with you today, who is the chairman and CEO of Eastern Shipbuilding. And Mr. DeCernio, we know that you've been a victim of Hurricane Michael, but yet you've come back strong in terms of the shipyard. Do you have any comment that you might want to make as to where you stand with going forward with the project? Could you come forward so we can have you on the mic?
Thank you very much. We've been working with the city. As William has said, the city has been in hurricane meetings daily, all day long. I think everyone in this room has been affected by Michael. We certainly were. The approval of this project will enable us to put in place the infrastructure to build these Coast Guard vessels. Endeavor will employ between 900 and 1,000 direct jobs for the next 20 years, and we thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. DeCernio, for what your company has done for Northwest Florida and for our country as far as your relationship with the Coast Guard, the Department of Defense.
Right. The offshore patrol cutters are, again, you know, this 360-foot combatant ships that will form the background which will aid in our maritime border security. Our borders don't end just south of Texas, between Texas and Mexico. They go up the both coasts of the United States. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. DeCernio or for Mr. Harrison? Thank you very much, both of you. And please tell the city of Panama City that we understand the other business that keeps them away today, and we appreciate the intensive conversations that we and our staff have had with them that brings us to this point. A motion would be in order to approve the grant award recommendation for Proposal 185.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Public comment before vote.
Yes, absolutely. A motion would be in order, and then we'll take public comment on the motion. Is there such a motion?
Move approval.
Motion by Mr. Baer. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Dana. Are there questions on the motion? If not, we'll take public comment. Any member of the public wish to address this topic, wish to address this application, you may speak for it or against it. You can provide information that you think the board should know before it votes.
That's the first one.
No, man, is it all in works?
If not, Ms. Skelton, please call the roll.
Mr. Bear?
Yay.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Show it adopted. Thank you very much, and we look forward to the next few years as we work together.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Remington, would you take us to Proposal 187?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. The next proposal for the board's consideration is Project Number 187. And up before the board today for approval is a term sheet for a grant award agreement between Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. and Northwest Florida State College. This is a grant in the amount of $2,763,716. It would represent approximately a 48% match. The partial funding would establish workforce training programs in the Walton Works Training Center of Excellence at its Chautauqua Center in Walton County, Florida, and at a fire tower to be constructed at the Walton County Sheriff's Office in Dufuniac Springs. It would support the following areas: the industrial trades, electrical, plumbing, construction, welding, and millwork, cybersecurity, unmanned vehicle systems operations, law enforcement, fire science, and emergency medical technicians, and other professions as identified in the application. $654,419 of Triumph grant funds would be allocated for instructor salaries. $109,297 of the grant funds would be allocated for the purchase of equipment. $1.6 million of the grant funds would be allocated for construction of a new industrial trade building. And $400,000 of the grant funds would be allocated for renovation of existing buildings. All other aspects of the term sheet are consistent with prior workforce development, workforce training projects. The project includes the following performance metrics. Metric number one, on or before May 31st, 2024, not less than 1,570 students will have obtained industry-recognized certificates in aerospace and defense, architecture and construction, law enforcement, public safety, corrections and security, and cybersecurity. Performance metric number two, for the first year for which DEO wage data is available for students that participated in the certification programs, at least 50% of students for whom DEO wage data is available will be earning the entry-level wage for Walton County as reported in the OES data for the corresponding year of employment as reported by the Florida Research and Economic Information Database application. Or optional performance metric three, by the first anniversary of the date on which the final grant funds were dispersed, at least 70% of students who enrolled in the certification programs completed their certificates. So those first three performance metrics, this project would have to meet one of those three. Additionally, the new performance metric that was discussed and has been reinserted into all education workforce training programs from this point forward is the maintenance performance metric. And under this agreement, it describes the certificate programs described in subparagraph A above are intended to be durable and must be continued for at least 7 years after the date of the agreement using Northwest Florida State College's own funds after the grant funds have been fully dispersed. All remaining elements of the term sheet are consistent with prior workforce development term sheets. And I would invite your questions either for me or Dr. Fuller.
Dr. Fuller, any comments on this project, sir?
Yes, sir. We have the college, if there are some questions we want to direct to the college.
Would the college's representative come forward, please?
Prior to that, just for the record, there was one change. They had requested to move the fire tower from the main campus in Dupuniac to the sheriff's property to allow for more collaboration that we've already started with the sheriff and what they've that they've been doing with the sheriff as well.
And is that change memorialized in writing?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Sam Renfro. I'm Executive Director of Grant Development for Northwest Florida State College. Thank you for considering our grant proposal and moving to this stage. Our administration, our board, are excited about this opportunity. And as you can see in the term sheet, we have support from Walton County, and in particular the Walton County Sheriff's Office, for this project.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Lee.
Does your organization have any issues with the performance metrics that were laid out by Mr. Remington?
I spoke with our administration, and in particular our Dean of Career and Technology Education, this week when we saw that on the term sheet. He is confident that we'll be able to continue this project, sustain the project, and meet the levels that have been set.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments? Concerns? If not, we would take a motion that would approve the term sheet as described for Proposal 187 and direct staff and legal counsel to prepare a final contract on this proposal. Is there such a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move it forward.
Moved by Mr. Lee. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Riggs. Let us take public comment. Any members of the public wish to speak on this proposal? You can speak for it, against it, provide general information. Anything from any member of the public relative to this proposal is welcome. If not, is there any debate on the motion? Ms. Skelton, please call the roll.
Mr. Baer?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Unanimous vote.
Showed adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And tell Dr. Stevenson we appreciate the opportunity to work with him. Counsel, please go forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next matter before the board for consideration is a term sheet for grant award for a grant award agreement between Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc. and the Gulf County School District. At the last meeting in Okaloosa County, the board instructed staff to move forward with negotiations of a term sheet with the Gulf County School District. The total amount of the grant requested is $125,000. The purpose of the grant would be to provide partial funding to purchase equipment necessary to expand the AgriScience Industry Certification Program at Wewahitchka High School, as further described in the application. The grant funds shall be allocated as follows. $35,000 shall be allocated for the purchase of a tractor with implements, $53,000 for the construction of a greenhouse, $20,000 for storage shed, $10,000 for tools, $7,000 for materials and supplies, for a total of $125,000. The term sheet is nearly identical to the previous term sheet that was approved by the board for the Gulf County School District's previous education program. There are performance metrics and clawbacks in this agreement that I would ask Dr. Fuller to describe, and then I may have one more comment to add on that project, on that note.
Dr. Fuller.
For this contract are the same as the other educational contract. So many certificates will be produced. 50% of the students that are enrolled need to complete, and we have to meet the wage indicators for the students that we can track. And then the fourth piece would be that they extend and be able to operate this program after the terms of this contract complete.
Counsel?
Yes, sir. And my apologies, but the fourth element did not make it into this term sheet, and that would be the continuation of the program. So we would ask for the board's direction if the board would like us to include that continuation provision as it's previously instructed for workforce training programs. We'll be glad to add that into the final contract that we bring back to you at the next meeting. But since it's not in the term sheet, I would ask that the board provide us with formal direction to do so.
Board members, any comment on that? Do you wish to be consistent with our other education program contracts?
Mr. Chairman, I think we need to be consistent throughout contracts.
Is there objection to Mr. Baer's suggestion? Mr. Baer's suggestion, I don't believe he had his mic on. Would you please repeat it again, sir?
I'm 78 years old. It might not be the same. My recommendation is that we be consistent with all of these educational contracts, and therefore we add in the new language into this one.
Is there objection? If not, the board's agreed. And depending upon the board's action, if we approve the term sheet today, I would suggest, Susan and Scott, that if we are able to arrange for a telephonic board meeting to address the Escambia project, that we include this project on that agenda. And the reason I make that suggestion is because of the fact that even though the school year has just ended, the school year is just starting. As Dr. Taylor's indicated, people have to be hired, contracts have to be entered into, things have to be done. So depending on the board's action, it would seem to me an appropriate action to make sure that Gulf County would also be able to get this underway before the school year starts, assuming the board approves the term sheet. Are there any members of the public who would like to address this topic, this project? The project before us is the Proposal 148, the Gulf County School District Agri-Science Training Program. Yes, sir. Mr. Schoaf. Representative Schoaf, I'm sorry.
As a member of the public, I'd like to ask Dr. Fuller, I noticed that the letter of support is for a welding program, and the that was attached with it, and we're talking about an agri-science project. Both of them are sorely needed in Gulf County, but I was wondering, in our last meeting, I remember asking you about their welding program and just wanted to see if we could get an update on how that is coming.
Mr. Chair, we didn't include the agri-science in this packet because it was in the last packet, but the welding project is on the agenda later for consideration today.
We'll get to it. Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak on this matter, for it, against it, provide information? If not, a motion would be in order to approve the term sheet for Proposal 148 and direct staff and legal counsel to prepare a contract for consideration of the board at a telephonic board meeting to be arranged as soon as practical. Is there such a motion?
Hello.
Motion by Dr. Dana. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there debate? Is there discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Baer?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Showed adopted. And now, Council, I understand that there's a request to amend the Port of Panama City funding arrangement. I see Mr. Stubbs is here today. Do you have any comment on it before we ask Mr. Stubbs to come to the mic?
Mr. Chairman, I would just note that I believe that the request being made does not require an amendment to the grant award agreement, rather just approval of a resolution if the board so approves. And I would request that Mr. Stubbs be recognized to explain the request.
Mr. Stubbs, please come forward, and while you're at it, would you let us know how things are going at the port as you've gotten back up on your feet post-hurricane, and how things are going with the project that we are partnering with you on?
Certainly. So, and thank you for your question about the hurricane impacts of the port. The port was impacted. We had some major damage at a number of our facilities on our main port. We have 20 buildings, and only one was not damaged, some of them significant, some of them not as significant. The new warehouse that we had constructed in phase one of the project, which the Triumph funding followed phase one of that project, or the initial construction of that project. Some of you came and toured that building, you know, just when we had gotten the CO on it. That building received significant damage. The two bays on the eastern side of that building were pretty much destroyed, about 100 feet of the building, and the remaining 500 feet of the building was actually jacked out of square. That's such big steel, it's hard to imagine, you know. But so we basically had to deconstruct that building all the way down to the main frame and cut all the Z-bracing and all the skin off, all the roofing off, and pull it back into square and start over again. So that's what we did. But we were able to continue moving forward with the addition to that building that was planned already to come. So we actually reconstructed the first phase of the building at the same time we were adding the addition that we had planned to do. We were able to take the cargo out of that facility, put it in our main facility, and it's pretty tight over there right now, but we're getting it done, and we've maintained a continuity of the business for the mill once they started running again. So the good news for us is we had about $16 million in damages, but we were fully insured with a very strong group that's come in and done a remarkable job to help us repair. And we're within, you know, weeks at this point of being finished with all of our major repair. Well, I may be exaggerating a little, but we were then about a month of being completed with all the major repairs, our distribution warehouse, the warehouse at the East Terminal, our wood pellet warehouse, and all the other buildings. So we lost about $1.5 million in revenues, which we were not insured for, so we did take a hit on some revenue losses. But we have retained all of our customers except one, which was a local company that was so damaged that they are not going to get back up into business. It was a steel processing company in Panama City. So we feel fortunate to be where we are. I tell you, our employees deserve all the credit. They came together, and they showed up even when they were having to walk to work to get there, and we were able to start handling cargo within a week after that storm, and we had a ship in within about 9 days from that storm. So a remarkable effort on the part of our employees. I'm very proud of them. So. Any questions on that? I'm happy to move on to
Please go forward.
Okay. So, and I think it was hurricane related, but you know, we've had excellent partners with you and with the DOT preceding your participation. The DOT is good about supporting ports with matching grants, and they have put a lot of money, as you know, Mr. Chair, in a lot of the major ports around the state. Not so much into the smaller ports, but they really did embrace this project for Panama City. They understood it was our opportunity to have a real breakout expansion project for our port and to grow as a regional port and become a significant port. So they've been tremendous supporters. And I think following the hurricane, they kind of, you know, made an extra effort to see what they could do to help us, you know, kind of stay whole. And they found some more grant money to offer us for our East Terminal expansion project. But their rules limit the amount of match they can give to certain projects, no more than 50% in almost every case. But the additional money they found, they could apply it to our bulkhead project. They found about $2.5 million in additional matching funds. On bulkheads, they can put up to 75% matching funds. Well, we had planned to use about $6 million of your $10 million on the bulkhead at a 50-50 kind of sharing with the DOT at that point. We had already put most of our skin in the game early, and with you joining this project, we had several projects that were going to pretty much be evenly matched with the state and the DOT for these last phases of construction. But when they were able to put in 75%, then the $6 million of the $12 million on the bulkhead that we had anticipated would be Triumph money, you know, we couldn't benefit from the money the state came up with without reducing your share of that project. So that would be kind of a no benefit to us unless you allow us to also spend some Triumph dollars on another component. And so we were asking here with our letter to you and information we've been providing to staff that there is an attachment B to our agreement that lists the improvements that we anticipate using Triumph funds on, and it didn't include the dredging project. And, Mr. Chair, you may remember, I know being and some of the others that were on the board at the time, we had a lot of discussion about the dredging project, and the reason we didn't include it, I'm sure the only reason we didn't originally put it on Attachment B as eligible for Triumph funding, is it wasn't confirmed yet. It wasn't finally permitted, the PED study hadn't been done, and the federal government had not funded it. And I know there was a lot of concern about the board. What if they don't fund it? You know, what are you going to do then? But the good news is in December, we confirmed that it had been put in the fiscal FY19 budget for construction. The port had stepped up and put another $600,000 on the table to get the PED, the interim study, done without waiting on federal money. And then they put the construction in the budget, and they are planning to dredge in November, December of this year. So everything, I believe, is going well, considering that we did go through this hurricane event in the middle of this project. To take advantage of the additional funds that the state has found, we needed to add, I think, to that attachment or Exhibit B to our agreement, the dredging project, so some of your funds could shift from the bulkhead down to the dredging project, and then we could accept the state funds. We've been working hard to go through the project with the staff and where all the money has come from. It's clearly, this is not an opportunity for us to monetize additional money for the Port Authority. At the end of the day, the Port Authority would have put in as much or maybe a little more than we had planned to and had put in our application to you. We're not asking for more money on your part. It's just the DOT is putting in more money, which is helping us deal with some creeping, escalating costs that we have experienced over the course of this event. And it just allows the Port Authority kind of stay where we are and not put in more, basically, to get the project done. So we were asking your consideration to let us list the dredging project as another improvement that's eligible for Triumph funds so that we can accept the state funds into the bulkhead and shift your funds into the bulkhead, into the dredging, some of your funds into the dredging project. So,
other questions for Mr. Stubbs? Yes, sir, Mr. Lee.
Just to clarify, Stubbs, this is for the dredging project that will service the east terminal. Is that correct?
That project, east terminal. Yes.
And it will support the project that we were already in on.
Yeah.
And now that these dredging funds have been approved by the feds, those funds are on their way, and this will just help expedite this project.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Dr. Dana? Okay. Council, is there anything about the request from the Port of Panama City that creates any ripples in the water in terms of our compliance with our original agreement with the port? Do we have to do any public notice requirement of any material change in that contract? What obligations, if any, do we have in that regard?
Mr. Chairman, it's our opinion that this is just simply a change in the budget. It's not a material change. It's not changing the amount of money. It's just changing how things are allocated in that budget. And Triumph did reserve the right to approve budget changes in the future. So staff's recommendation is that this resolution approving the change to the budget be approved, and we do believe it complies with the statute and doesn't require a formal amendment.
And Council, you have a proposed resolution, is that correct?
Yes, sir. In your packet should be a printed copy of a proposed resolution relating to grant for Panama City Port Authority.
Would you read it out, please?
Certainly. I apologize for the feedback. Whereas Triumph Gulf Coast, Inc., a Florida not-for-profit corporation, Triumph, and Panama City Port Authority, a dependent special district of the City of Panama City Authority, previously entered into that certain grant award agreement dated June 12, 2018, with respect to certain projects at the Authority's East Terminal property, pursuant to which Triumph approved a $10 million grant, and whereas at the time of the agreement was executed, the budget for the project contemplated that none of the grant funds were to be used for the dredging portion of the project that would deepen the East Channel. And whereas the amount of actual grant funds from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for the dredging project was less than anticipated, but the actual amount of grant funds for the project from the Florida Department of Transportation was more than anticipated, but may only be used for specific items, and whereas the authority has requested that the project budget, known as Exhibit B, be adjusted to allow Triumph grant funds to be used for the dredging portion of the project instead of other portions of the project, which will now be funded by additional Florida Department of Transportation grant funds. Now, therefore, be it resolved that, pursuant to its authority under Section 4.2 of the agreement, Triumph hereby approves a change to the budget that will allow grant funds to be used for the dredging portion of the project instead of portions of the project which will now be funded by additional Florida Department of Transportation grant funds, provided, however, that it is expressly understood and agreed that the total grant shall not increase and shall remain at $10 million.
Are there questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Stubbs.
I'm an English major, so forgive me if I get off track here, but I was listening to that, and next to the last sentence concerned me a little bit. I hadn't heard this before, this resolution, or seen it, but you said instead of projects, and we're not eliminating, I mean, we'd still use some Triumph funding on the bulkhead. We would just use lesser percentage. So I didn't know if you said use it here instead of there. I didn't know if that solved one problem and created another one. So,
how about if we just replaced instead of and with in addition to?
I think that would work, I think. So,
could you read out that full sentence then?
Yes. Now, therefore, be it resolved that pursuant to its authority under Section 4.2 of the agreement, Triumph hereby approves a change to the budget that will allow grant funds to be used for the dredging portion of the project in addition to portions of the project which will now be funded by additional Florida Department of Transportation grant funds.
Or which will also be funded.
Will also be funded.
Sorry to interject that.
No, listen. That's why we need English majors.
So,
does everyone understand the motion, the resolution? Does everyone understand the clarification that Mr. Stubbs has made and that council has accepted? Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chairman, in the previous paragraph, I just wanted to point out to the legal counsel, we used the word instead of, or the phrase instead of as well. Do we need to address that also?
I suggest we make the same change in addition to.
Thank you.
All right, does everyone understand what we've done? Is everyone comfortable with it? Is there any objection or concern? All right. Is there public comment? Does any member of the public wish to comment on this issue? You can be for it. You can be against it. You can just provide information that you think the board should know. Is there any debate? Please call the roll.
Mr. Chair, was that a motion by Mr. Lee?
Mr. Lee, was that your motion?
I'll be happy to make the motion.
Was there a second?
So moved that we had
adopted. Mr. Bear seconded the motion that was read out by counsel and that was with the scrivener's error corrected.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bear?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Show it adopted. Thank you, Mr. Stubbs. Council, you have a request to amend the FSU agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You will recall that the board has previously approved a grant award agreement with Florida State University, project number 69. That grant award agreement was approved and signed. However, Florida State University has come back to us with a request to make some technical changes to the previously approved grant award agreement. Again, we don't believe these are substantive changes, only technical changes. And it's my understanding that Dr. Ellington from Florida State is here to address the issue. And we would request he be recognized.
Dr. Ellington, it's good to see you, sir. Can you inform the board of the nature of the change you wish to make and why it's important?
So in our haste to address the crisis in Apalachicola Bay, we overlooked some lack of concordance of statutes with our status as a state university and a state agency. And so part of this amendment is to put into concordance the statutes that are cited in the contract with the fact that we're a state university and a state agency. Secondly, the items that we're going to be expending funds on were a mix of reimbursables and dispersable items, which means a reimbursable item is you make the expenditure and then at a later date you request reimbursement for it. Dispersable items, you ask for the money up front and then you get the money from Triumph. It's a little bit cumbersome to do that, and so what we're requesting to do is to convert the dispersable items to reimbursable items, which means that what we will do is we will expend our funds for those items and then after the fact request reimbursement. We probably will do it on a quarterly basis, which is what we do with federal grants. This puts the burden on us to provide the documentation and the justification for reimbursement.
Other questions? Other questions? Council, there is no change in the amount of money, I take it, that is awarded. The changes are as Dr. Ellington has described them. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Are there any members of the public who wish to speak on this matter? You can speak for it, against it, provide information. Any member of the public? If not, is there debate on the matter? We need a motion. Is there a motion to approve the amendment to the FSU grant award? Well, first, would you read out the proposed is it lengthy?
It's four pages.
Oh, no. No, we can't take that. It's in the packet. And it has been summarized, and there are no questions so far. Is there a motion to approve it?
Mr. Chairman, I've read the amendment, and I'd like to move approval of the amendment.
Motion by Mr. Baer. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there a debate or discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
While Ms. Dillon is here, I'd just like to say, could we get a quick update on the project and how it's going?
Yes, sir. Please.
We are in the process of assembling a community advisory board, to do this, we're being interviewing about 50 or 60 folks that are associated with the region. We are in the process of starting some of the scientific objectives, hiring the people that will be needed to conduct the research. We are developing what we call the bridge hatchery. It will take us about 2.5 years to build the experimental oyster hatchery, but we need oyster larvae early on, so we're building a bridge hatchery at the Marine Laboratory. It's a complex machine with lots of moving parts, and we're trying to make sure that all the wheels are moving in the right direction. We're making good progress, though.
Thank you.
Further questions? If not, there is a motion on the floor to approve the resolution as it's found in your packet. Ms. Skelton, please call the roll.
Mr. Riggs.
Yes.
Mr. Lee.
Yes.
Chair Gates.
Yes.
Dr. Dana.
Yes.
Mr. Baer.
Yes.
Motion approved unanimously.
Thank you.
Short adopted. So as members can see, from time to time, applicants come back and want to make technical changes or even substantive changes, just as we do. This is not a static process, but a dynamic one as we learn more about these projects and as conditions change, but we're happy to accommodate as best we can. Let's now, unless there are any questions or comments about any items that council has provided or any questions for Mr. Remington.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to comment on the discussion we had earlier with the Escambia County School Board and just say that I would like to make sure that we do our due diligence to get this approved
if, in fact, we can work with Escambia County School Board to get it approved, but that we do that in the with the utmost emergency to so that we can get this program moving. I think it's just absolutely vital. We've got 50% of the region's population living in Escambia County, and we've got, in some areas of that county, we've got up to a 35% unemployment rate. We've got kids in school that have no direction, that are either going to get out of high school or drop out without any idea of what they're going to do the rest of their lives. We've got kids going to college who don't belong in college, and we need to help them fit into their part of society to help our economy. So I think it's of the utmost importance that we do everything we can to move this grant forward.
And as you pointed out, Mr. Baer, we have joined with the city of Pensacola and with the state of Florida and the federal government and others in committing to a $210 million project that is projected to produce over 2,400 direct and indirect jobs. And we have to have people trained for those jobs in order to make the economic promise of the aerospace industry really come true for Northwest Florida. So my hope would be, Ms. Skelton, that Mr. Remington, if you could be in touch with the applicant and let them know that we are very willing, just as soon as they feel that they wish to, if they wish to, make the commitment that they will continue the program for the period of its description in their application, that we're prepared to hold a telephonic board meeting, assuming we can get a quorum within days. We have to have a five-day period in order to publicly notice such a meeting and make it available to the public if they wish to tune in to the meeting. But with 5 days notice, we will move as rapidly as we can to hold that meeting. And please let them know that. And ditto with respect to the Gulf County folks. They don't have the same problem, but they have the same urgency. Thank you very much. Let's move to the program administration report. Ms. Anderson.
Good afternoon. As you'll see in the report, we continue to receive new pre-applications on a regular basis, and you have now received 200 pre-applications totaling a little over $1.59 billion. Of those 200 pre-applications, we have received 68 applications totaling a little bit over $583 million. And I've continued the description of where they are in the process for you. You'll see it's a little bit everywhere. And another batch of letters with scores C or less have been are going out in the mail or went out in the mail, and I believe Ms. Skelton's available to discuss any questions you might have about those. And we continue to have regular conversations with applicants and pre-applicants, interested parties, explaining the Triumph process, as well as our economic development leaders are just on their way back from Paris, from the Paris Air Show, where they did reach out to me and report that they had a fantastic event, and there was a huge difference in the reception from companies from last year when they'd heard about Triumph to this year when they've seen the investments you as a board have made, be it ST, Whiting's aviation field, the education programs, and it was really noted at the air show, and they're coming back very excited with some fantastic leads. A delegation from Northwest Florida also traveled to Select USA in Washington, D.C. In the last 2-3 weeks, which is where international companies come who are looking to make a footprint in the United States, and they had a fantastic reception there as well, very well received. The Triumph investments are being noticed, and new companies are becoming interested in the region. So hopefully over the next few years we'll see that result in new investment. Additionally, you'll note there's a new project on that has requested to be placed on hold, and that is the Bay Youth Foundation, Summer Foundation. So we were moving forward with them on an agreement, but they've chosen to self-fund for this year with community investments to test out the certification program that Dr. Fuller and Gulf Coast State College worked so hard with them on. They're going to do that on their own this year and then use those findings to request their grant for next year. And so we are supporting them in that effort with our assistance. That is the majority of my report. We do have, you know, we have been receiving new applications and pre-applications and converting them into applications as quickly as possible.
Other questions for Ms. Henderson? Yes, sir, Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to echo what Ms. Henderson was saying about the economic development team in Paris. I know that in visiting with Becca Harden, our EDA chair in Panama City, she mentioned that before she even left, she had over 30 meetings scheduled at the Paris Air Show. So I think what we're doing with this board and what we're doing in this region, with what steps that we've taken throughout, not just us but others, we're certainly making an impact on a global stance.
Other comments? Ms. Henderson, let me underscore what a message I think that came out of our last meeting, and that is that we have not only an opportunity but an obligation to be involved in high return on investment projects in Santa Rosa County and in Walton County and in Gulf County and in McCulloch County and in Bay County and in Escambia County, I mean in all of the counties that we're into, but particularly those counties that have not come forward with major projects to this point, which is not to say that a $250,000 project is not major, because it can have a huge impact on the people that it affects, particularly our education projects. But the sort of the hard economic development projects of the kind that we've seen now in Pensacola and we've seen now in Panama City, I hope that you will talk with the economic development leaders in the other counties and let them know that now is the hour, and if they have projects that that seem to be worthy of consideration, to let us know. And also, this board has already said that members of the board are willing, and all of us have done this, to meet with individual counties, to meet with EDA folks, to meet with potential players, potential employers, current employers, to see where we might be able to add value to an economic development, job sustaining, job creating project in the area. So let them know that we're not looking for it over a matter of years. We're looking for it over a matter of months. We want to rebuild Northwest Florida now, with good projects that have a strong return on investment, but this is not like good whiskey. It doesn't get better with age. There is opportunity for us now. Any other comments as to Ms. Henderson's report? If not, a motion would be in order to approve her report as presented.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Lee, seconded by Mr. Baer. Is there a debate, discussion, objection? Showed adopted. And Dr. Fuller, you're an economist today, I understand, as well as being our world's greatest expert on education. And so in the absence of Dr. Harper, would you please remark to the to Proposal 180, please?
Well, we do have Dr. Harper here on the phone.
Is Dr. Harper on the phone?
To double check.
Is he there?
Okay, now you're at the microphone.
Dr. Harper.
Great. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
We have some really nice treats in the back room here. Would you like us to pass any of them to you through the phone?
If you would just leave them out on the counter for a few days, I'll be right there.
All right. Dr. Harper, did you wish to comment on Proposal 180?
I Well, yes, I'd comment briefly and then turn it over to Dr. Fuller for a deeper insight. We have a proposal for the Wewahitchka welding program before us. It's a request for $250,000 from Triumph. As is the case with most of our school district proposals, the county proposes to contribute matching costs in each year for program operation. The cost per certificate to Triumph is $5,000 for this welding program. That is certainly competitive with other per certificate costs in rural counties, particularly those with hurricane impact, and therefore the staff recommendation is that this proposal be approved.
Dr. Fuller, could you offer some further comment on this project, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Welding is, this will give us another project of welding which supports multiple career fields in this whole panhandle. There's a 26% growth rate in welding projected over the next 6 years, which would be strong with incomes for the folks that complete these programs, and recommend this program go forward.
Are there questions? Are there questions? Is a representative of the Gulf County School District here? If so, we'd be happy to have that person come forward with any comments. If not,
I think I saw Warren earlier. I don't know if he's going to come in on the school district today.
Well, he represents everybody there.
Yeah.
Is Warren here? Is he coming?
They said he had to leave.
He had to leave.
Okay.
Well, we'll note that he was not here. Send a note to. Any comment from the board? Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I think this, you know, from a standpoint of education, certainly plays right into, you know, we took up Eastern Shipbuilding Project is in conjunction with the City of Panama City earlier today, and certainly like what Mr. Baird just his comments earlier, where we need folks to fill these positions, and we need qualified people to fill these positions, and when we look at this as a regional standpoint, you know, Gulf County shares a very strong border with Bay County, and I feel that this is a great project to certainly that would benefit not just Gulf County but also the region as a whole.
And so Mr. Lee moves to give initial approval to Proposal 180 and direct staff to work with the applicant on the creation of a term sheet. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Dana. Is there debate or discussion? Is there public comment? Does any member of the public wish to speak on this proposal, for it or against it, or just for general information? If not, please call the roll.
Dr. Dana.
Yes.
Mr. Baer.
Yes.
Chair Gates.
Yes.
Mr. Lee.
Yes.
Mr. Riggs.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Showed adopted. Let's move now to Proposal 198. And I'm not sure if Dr. Harper calling from the International Space Station or Dr. Fuller, which of you are going to describe it?
We'll let Rick start off.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Fuller. This is a proposal from Wakulla County School District. It will guarantee 350 certificates in visual site operations in unmanned aerial systems over the 2019 to 2026 period. The average cost per certificate, given that the requested Triumph grant amount is $1.78 million, the requested the per certificate cost is thus $5,086. And as we saw, that cost is competitive in a rural county with hurricane impact, and therefore Dr. Fuller and I, along with staff, recommend it for approval by the board.
Dr. Fuller, since this proposal says Perrin Drones, Perrin, that means that you have a personal interest in it. I know you've been working on it. Can you offer any further comment?
Yes, sir. I think this fits in with some of the programs they've already started in their school district. I believe this will be assigned to the Navy ROTC project.
in their district, which aligns with other projects we've done with the Navy ROTC in the region. I would like to take a moment, if I could, Mr. Chair, and have Wakulla explain the success they have in their IT program right now. We're finishing up their first year of evaluation, and they have some remarkable success, if they could take a minute.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon, board, and good afternoon, staff members, audience members. My name is Sunny Chansey on behalf of Wakulla County School Board and our superintendent, Bobby Pierce. It's a pleasure to be able to tell you what we did in the 18-19 school year. So we received a grant prior to this one from Triumph Gulf Coast. We implemented the grant in the 18-19 school year to work with digital tools through our primary schools, grades 3-5. We, in the 18-19 school year, earned 331 more digital tool certifications than we did the prior year. And part of the new grant that we're trying to do is to build also on that for the ICT, which is information computer technology, to create an after-school program, because we don't seem to have the time during the day with all the core content areas, recess and PE for our little ones, to do an after-school program to help even build more ICT certifications through digital tools, which then will matriculate as they go into the secondary schools.
I think the key factor, Mr. Chair, is they've moved a middle school program to elementary school.
And it worked.
Compared to the expectations that you had and the performance metrics that we negotiated with you for the program that you're just completing the first school year on, how are you doing?
We are 300% above bar. So our goal this year was 80, and we made 331.
Now, apparently we're not too hard to deal with after all.
We have to credit it to our teachers. They dove in. We had quarterly meetings. We went through all the curriculum. We did identify some holes in the curriculum, so we're going to meet with the vendor hopefully soon for them to allow us to help them patch the holes.
Mm-hmm. This man here would like to give you more money when you overperform.
Well, we'll see you soon.
Dr. Chansey, since you're before us on the drones project, let me ask you and Dr. Fuller to comment on this. There are drones and there are drones, and I'm surely not an expert, but there's the kind of drone that my daughter got for Christmas 2 years ago that she sort of flies around and does, kind of half for her hobby and half for stuff that she does related to her job. And then there are drones that get shot down by Iranian missiles, and there's all kinds of stuff in between. Can you articulate to us the level of competency, the level of acuity of this program? What will graduates and certificate holders from the program that is before us today be able to do in terms of the employment market?
And Dr. Fuller, if you don't mind, I'll start, and then you can add anything that I miss. Based on our research, when we were starting to write this application, you're absolutely right. We have the drones you can throw up against a wall and they won't break, which are the ones we're going to begin with, because our students are not accustomed to being able to manipulate the drones in the airspace that they need to do. Then there's the mid-level drones, and then there's the high-level drones. And so the cost associated with each of those was a bit of a barrier for us, but the funding that you guys provide will allow us to graduate our students with high-level drone experience. But then there's a difference between being able to fly a drone and then being able to analyze the analytics from the drone information that they're gathering. So we will begin initially with the flight and then hopefully move over to the analysis before they graduate. Since this is the first year, whether it be 1920 or 2021, we'll see aeronautics and weather and space and time and black holes and all that stuff are really important. So we got to start with the baseline curriculum, and then we'll move up to the fun part, which would be the simulators and the flying. So hopefully, to answer your question, Chair, we want to graduate our kids with not only the knowledge to fly the drones, but the knowledge to analyze the data collected from the drones.
And what kind of jobs, then, will they get, Dr. Chansey, Dr.
You know,
Fuller?
Thank you for doctor, but just Mrs. will be fine.
That's all right. We're all doctors now. If Alan Benz can be a doctor, we can all be doctors, right?
So our plan is to take the ICT information, the information computer technology that we're starting in the primary grades, and then infiltrate what happens as they articulate up. So what we're reading in the articles and the research is that the power lines, that when we have weather situations and hurricanes, instead of having a man climb to the top of the power line to determine what the difficult situation is or why the line's down, you can take a drone, you can take pictures, then you can identify the situation, take the proper equipment up, which alleviates some of the hazards and the accidents that we're seeing with power lines and things that are happening in severe situations. So that's one example. Another is, of course, aerial photography. We take all kinds of pictures with drones. We do the, and I'm not even sure the proper terminology for it, but when they do the road work and then they're surveying, they can do the surveying with the drones. Any of the construction and the architecture, they can do with drone technology as well. So it's really wide open field.
And I don't know if Dr. Harper is still with us, or Frank, or both of you, graduates of this program will be able to qualify for what level of jobs in Northwest Florida going forward. If you look at the pipeline and you look at the kind of jobs that are needed and how many of them, what are these graduates going to be able to do? What does their future look like?
Well, I think one comment I'd like to make is the training the kids are getting in all the counties that we've implemented a drone program is the same training that adults get with their workforce needs. So we're talking about training that fits in line with ground school and other FAA requirements to get people up to competency skills that they can be certified to actually work in the workplace. I think in the hurricane, we saw a ton of examples of how industry had to flip and get into the drone business real fast. The insurance companies were bringing their own folks down here, training them in our area on how to use drones to deal with the massive inspections that they had to do in this area. What happened is the job descriptions are not going to grow as fast as the jobs with drones. Example, you'll still see power companies advertise linemen, but in their job description, they're going to have to be operating drones in order to fit that description. So right now we think the projection going forward is how well they mutate into the existing jobs and using this as a tool. An example we gave a couple of years ago, this is not much difference than computer technology. The drone is not the answer. It's the application and what they do with the drone that makes an economic impact. Mm-hmm. On average, you'll get a 30 to 35% reduction in cost with deploying a tool like this versus the standard procedure they're using right now. So at the end of the game, we're looking for the certifications for these kids that's the same as the adult workforce, that we're trying to get them into positions to move into career fields that are going to mutate, and we want them on the very cutting edge as these jobs mutate so that they can grow in the industry. We have some great personal examples in this area. We have two or three kids that are 25 years old now that are working for major corporations as the very chair of the online, the drone program in their company. And I would mention their names, but I haven't told them I was going to mention their names, so I'll hold on that.
Dr. Harper, are you still with us, sir?
Yes, I am.
Can you comment on the workforce needs and the economic trends in Northwest Florida and what value you see while you're recommending this?
Yes, it's a changing workforce environment over time. That's been true historically, continues to be true, but with the pace of technology increasing, we need to be more poised than ever before to move into areas of opportunity. To me, the unmanned systems program seem to be a perfect match with what we have done historically. There's a mindset in favor, there's interest in government, there's an interest in the labor force and in our retired military, as well as in people coming out of school at a younger age to participate in these programs. This is a way, in addition to the programs that Frank was talking about, where demand is exploding for remote-controlled sensing activities that are becoming ever more efficient. There's also a demand in our traditional air transport industry, and this is a way that Northwest Florida can hook into growing demand worldwide for these skill sets. It's a great export industry for us because the things that these people are learning and doing will have a market nationwide for Northwest Florida companies and their employees.
They said it a lot better than that than I did.
No. Well, Ms. Chancy, we simply want to make sure that these students are getting more than an interesting set of skills, but a set of skills that, that really connect, hardwired, into jobs that are available and will be available in Northwest Florida.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I offer a real world example of how this has been employed after the hurricane?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm familiar with a subdivision with multi-story homes at St. George Island, and all of the homes had roof damage. They were able to fly drones and take photographs and do roof assessments from the air for all of the homes in that subdivision. It would have taken days and days and days to climb all of those roofs and inspect them. They were able to complete the inspections in a half a day. So not only did they save money, but they also provided a more safe environment for the people who were doing the assessments. So that's a real-world example of what's been done already in the region. And the folks that did it were not from here, but now we'll be able to provide the workforce to do that kind of work in the event of another disaster.
God forbid. Yes, sir, Mr. Baer.
Mr. Chairman, the one thing we haven't heard is the economic side of this. What type of salary range are we looking at, or what's an average pay for these people coming out of this type of a program? Are we raising the level in those individual counties, or are we lowering them, or what would be the pay range?
Well, I don't want to get ahead of Rick, but what you're going to see is the jobs that maybe, let's just take a power company. It probably took a while for them to write the job descriptions they have. They've gone through a long process. When they introduce drones into the application, we're talking about the job of the lineman. And whatever that pay rate is, which will be a high end going forward, they'll integrate this. This is not a standalone career field. This isn't train you how to fly a drone and then that becomes your card. It's an application of this in an existing career field to reduce the operational cost of the business. The outcome of that is we're going to move these folks up into higher paid jobs quicker because they have the skill sets that the businesses are looking for. But I can defer to Rick. I'm sure he's got some more analytic pictures.
Rick?
Well, the information that's out there in the labor market statistics suggests that at an entry level, these jobs are going for at least $44,000 to $50,000 a year, but that experienced operators make substantially more than that. For experienced operators, we're talking about six-figure salaries, depending on the region, depending on the market sector. So these are well-paid jobs relative to our traditional standards in Northwest Florida.
You know, I guess the final comment, if I could, Mr. Chair, is that if you look at the investment in the military in our region in unmanned operations, this is exactly what we need to be doing to develop the transition folks who are coming out of the military who may need transition training into these career fields, are to take advantage of the skill sets they have to help our kids gain a better picture of what the applications could be. We're blessed to be in an area where the cutting edge of all this unmanned thing is beneficial to us because we've got the parents and the kids who are actually involved in it talking about it and bringing it into their school and to their workplace.
Further questions or comments? Let me ask you this, Ms. Chancy. The motion, or the item before us, is to move to term sheet negotiations. And if you didn't know before, you sat through conversations earlier where we want to make sure that if a project is a two-year project or a three-year or four-year or five-year project, that the school district is committed to carrying that project through even after they cash our check. And is the Wakulla County School District committed to that? And therefore, would you have angst when you see that requirement show up in the term sheet?
No, there's been plenty of conversation. It's not something that we're going to do for 1 year or 2 years, even after the term sheet is up. It's something we're going to continue, if not continue to grow, but then possibly add additional components to it.
And so
the short answer is yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Any further comment or question? If not, a motion would be in order to give initial approval to Proposal 198 and direct legal counsel and staff to prepare a term sheet for this board's further consideration.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Dana. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Baer. Is there public comment? Any members of the public wish to comment on this proposal? You can be against it, you can be for it, or you can just want to chat about it. Seeing no public comment, is there debate? Call the roll.
Mr. Baer?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Showed motion adopted. That concludes the items on the agenda for this meeting, except for public comment, which we always look forward to and is an important part of our meeting. We take public comment on every action item that we consider, and then at the end of the meeting, we take public comment on Triumph Gulf Coast and on any matter that you think ought to come before this board. We have several people who've signed up. The rule that we've held to is a three-minute rule. We're not going to drop the hammer on you, but if you could be mindful that we have several people behind you who would also like to comment, and begin with Chris Doolin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I needed a refresher on running a meeting, and there would be no one better than to sit in a meeting and watch you run a meeting. So I just up with that.
You need to get out more.
I know many of you, but I have the honor of serving as a consultant to two consortiums in the state of Florida. One is the Small School District Council Consortium, which was started in 1983, and the other one is the Small County Coalition. Those two consortiums aggregate about 14 to 15 Senate districts and about 30 House districts. I wanted to come over today to simply thank you all and underscore, although you know this, how important this organization is to rural areas in North Florida. We've been blessed with strong legislative leaders in this state and from rural Florida, not the least of which are two that sit on your board and now with Representative Schoaf. So I just wanted to come over and thank you. I think you're doing a great job. Metrics make people uncomfortable. Economic development is a dynamic kind of a business. We're all aware of these conversations in Tallahassee over value added in Enterprise Florida and Visit Florida. And one of the things that I think is absolutely essential is that as we create jobs, will there be someone to hire them? And that's the kind of double-edged sword that some folks have, but I want to commend you for that because it keeps the pressure on. If people apply for a project, they better be in tune with the industry need. And hopefully the business community is out there ready and asking. But I will tell you, rural school districts are positioned for career tech. It is a niche for them. It is needed, and they are absolutely going to be leaders in that regard. Many areas they do not have capacity to take on, but career tech is absolutely a niche for them, and they're going to take that on. So thank you very much. I appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Chris. I apologize. It's either Pam Deck or Dan Peck. I apologize, ma'am. Could you correct me, please?
Dan will like banana.
Ah, very good. Well, thank you. We welcome you.
Thank
and
you.
And pleased to have your comments.
I come to you as a Wakulla resident and also a retired faculty member from Tallahassee Community College. I'd like to be standing in front of you today with TCC students behind me who had received degrees in environmental science from the Wakulla Environmental Institute. But there aren't any students who've received those degrees from the Wakulla Environmental Institute. So it's to ask you, and I was encouraged by your emphasis on the importance of the return on your investment when you make your decisions. I would hope that you would seriously review the track record of WEI before you ever make any consideration of awarding millions of dollars to the Institute. And here's why. In 2012, 2013, 2014, TCC made great sweeping promises in order to get millions of dollars to build the Wakulla Environmental Institute, more than $6 million that I'm aware of. And among those promises in writing was the commitment that it would be a world-class environmental center that would provide at least 8 environmentally focused degrees and certificate programs. It has not done that at all. In fact, in 2017, the Board of Trustees at TCC killed the environmental science degree program that it had, and in 2018, last year, it killed the classes that were environmental classes. So that's just one part of a track record I hope you would review and consider. The building sits on 158 acres, which have been taken off the Wakulla County tax rolls. That building sits practically empty. This year, in May, according to TCC's own records, it offered 3 classes, and all 3 were in drones. And of those 3 classes, only 3 students had signed up for 1 class. Now, this is the total curriculum of the Wakulla Environmental Institute. 3 students in 1 of 3 classes offered, all on drones. So an environmentally focused curriculum has not happened. In addition to that, TCC will talk about, and WEI will talk about, its OYSTER program. There were many sweeping and grand promises for the OYSTER program also. And among them, among those promises, if it could get the money to start the program, was that it would help Wakulla County's displaced fishermen. That has not happened either, only very sparingly. So all down the line, there have been wonderful grand promises for millions and millions of dollars and not very much to show for it except 3 offerings of drone classes with 3 students in 1 class. So with that in mind, it seems prudent to me that before you move forward in granting any of these oil spill dollars to WEI, that you dig deeper into the track record. I am not the only voice in this. I'm just the only one available this afternoon, I think, to come talk to you. And this is a preemptive request. The word is that WEI is asking about $2 million to teach, to build a pool and then have underwater drone classes and then maybe later on underwater welding. So before you make up your minds, I do hope you would consider the track record. And I thank you very much for offering me time.
We appreciate your being here. Michelle Taylor, Dr. Taylor, are you still here? Did you wish to speak again, ma'am? Be happy to hear you. Okay. And I apologize, it's not your writing, it's my eyes. Is it Jack Rudlow? Would you come forward, please?
Yes, I'm Jack Rudlow, and I'm the president of Gulf Specimen Marine Laboratory and Aquarium in Panacea. Statement I want to put together. I want to thank our new representatives, Jason Shoaf, for his assistance in helping me understand how the Triumph Gulf Coast process works. I talked with Jason a little while ago, and he just left, but I will miss his presence on the Triumph Board because he's taken the time, visited our aquarium, talked to our volunteers, our staff, and given us really good advice. His advice is that if we want to get funding, we must first partner with a governmental agency or public institution. Otherwise, without a partner and being part of a government agency, not being part of governments, we will never receive funding from Triumph. With the clawback provisions, that's not likely that we can make an association with another organization. Our Wakulla County commissioners have stated repeatedly that they will not be on the hook for $5 million or any amount of money for a non-governmental agency entity like ourselves. As a taxpayer, I can sympathize. But that provision alone sounds the death knell for anyone or any organization that remains independent. In other words, to receive funding from Triumph, you have to be a government, for the government, of the government, and by the government. That's sad. What happened to initiative? What happened to entrepreneurial spirits? What happened to fostering people that build things in their garages, that turn into things like drones and other things of this sort? When does government, when does universities or institutions produce that kind of creativity? I'm not saying it's not there, and I'm saying it can't happen. But the fact is that you guys have put up the barriers against this. I have a severe problem with. I've seen the correspondence between Triumph and the legislature asking if there were any prohibitions against businesses and nonprofits. And I recall that the board was told, no, there weren't. So I assumed that we were on a level playing field and continued with the time-consuming, costly application process. And I'm proud of the fact that Gulf Specimen and Marine Lab and Aquarium, now 56 years old in the same location, we built an organization out of nothing, little funding from anyone, and we've been bashed by the hurricanes, which, by the way, you people will not give us a dime for that because we are not government again. And you espouse that you want to assist in public purpose. We are a public purpose organization. I'm proud of the fact that 250 regional schools across the panhandle, South Georgia and everything else, come to our aquarium on field trips. If you went down to Gulf Specimen right now in Panacea, as I've kind of invited you all to do, chances are you would see two or three school buses there right now and the place mobbed with kids. Public purpose. The fact that we helped develop anti-cancer and anti-Alzheimer's drugs over the years with the National Cancer Institute, with the Howard Hughes Medical Institutions, and we've provided marine life to 1,300 different schools and researchers around the United States, Canada, Europe, should spell for something. And we saw, I was very hopeful when this whole Triumph thing was presented. Some of our county commissioners urged me to apply because we sought a way to help the impoverished community of Panacea and Wakulla County. This would provide funding that would help boost the local economy, transfer technology. Technology, by the way, that Gulf Specimen has developed over tediously and expensively over its 50 years, and raise the educational levels of the oil-impacted communities. And don't forget, our seafood industry has been trashed by BP and by the dispersants and by all the pollution and everything else that's come out of it. And this money should be using to help it, which I question whether it is or not. Hence, we've applied, submitted our proposal, and were encouraged by Triumph to proceed with the full application. We worked day and night on the proposal, putting in all our resources, answering the questions. We amassed letters of support from numerous institutions, from individuals who attributed the jobs that they have because they interned and worked at Gulf Specimen. We gathered reviews, and it was heartwarming to see how many people love to come to our aquarium and say good things about it. We're very proud of our reputation. And if there's anything good that I really came out of this Triumph experience, this application forced us to look at ourselves and look at what people say about us. And it practically brought tears to me to read some of those letters from professors, from other people, about what great things Gulf Specimen has accomplished over the years. Okay. Now, To be told at the end of this process that we do not qualify after jumping through all these hoops because of the lack of an association is an appalling misrepresentation. If Triumph had been honest with us and said from the beginning, we would not have wasted our time and our precious resources. The false encouragement of asking us and others to submit a full proposal makes it appear that Trump was collecting applications simply to provide cover for their organization. While it appears that it was a fair and equitable process, it feels like they were, in fact, selecting proposals from a pool, and they could, in reality, use that as cover to pad the pool so that they could select their favorite organizations. I'm appearing here today because I don't want to see other independent nonprofit businesses or individuals waste their time, money, jumping through the hoops through the tryout process. In all fairness, you should have a flashing banner on your website saying, warning, private nonprofits, standalone organizations, no matter how good you are or what you've accomplished, need not apply. Better still, rethink your mission, comply with the original guidelines that opened it up to people like ourselves, and get back on course. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak to the board? Even if you didn't sign up, we're still happy to hear from you if you'd like to come forward. Any other members of the public? If not, we'll take final comments from our board members. Mr. Riggs.
I have no comments.
Dr. Dana?
Well, I'll just thank you to this community for hosting us today.
Mr. Lee?
No comment.
Mr. Baer?
No comment.
Any other business we need to conduct, Ms. Skelton, counselor? If not, Dr. Dana moves to rise.